Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Back here at WEEI Afternoons, Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy, Stevens, and joining us on the phone line now is Red Sox manager Alex Cora, who is brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market, the official supermarket of the Red Sox Radio Network, by Arbella, here for baseball fans, here for good, and by John's Sewer and Drain Cleaning, the name to know when your drains don't flow. Alex, it's been a little bit of a bumpy start to the season, but I guess you got some good news today with the Christian Campbell contract extension. How good does it see the organization investing in a young player like that?
Yeah, I mean, he's a unique athlete, a unique player, excited about his future. And they work hard during spring training and obviously the first few days of the season to get it done. And everybody's excited. Yesterday we had a team function, team dinner. We were planning on doing that on the off day, regardless of if we're 5-0, 4-0-5, whatever. It's the off day, no families around. And we celebrated with the kid, you know. Actually, he picked up part of the tab, which is amazing.
That's like almost in the NFL when they make the rookies pick up the tabs on those deals as well, Alex. So it's nice to know that you guys went out for a little team bonding dinner as well, because obviously, like we said, rocky start to the season as well. And Rafael Devers and his struggles have been, you know, paramount to everything else and one of the bigger stories for the Sox in baseball. So now that you've had a chance to pull back and take a look at it, what do you think really has been at the core of Devers' struggles? And are you worried about him long term?
Well, you know, this is only 5 games, right? That's the reality of it. Is he striking out a high rate? Yeah, that's the reality of it. He's been swinging strikes. I think he chased against Nate early on, but besides that, he's actually swinging amazing in the zone. That's not perfect. There was a swing against Bautista the last in his last at bat that he was a little bit more on time, but I think this notion of Rafi, people want Rafi to pull the ball, and as you guys know, Rafi's not a pull hitter. Rafi makes his living hitting the ball to left center. And after that foul ball, he ended up with a walk. I was like, you know what? That's a positive. You know, out of all the negatives that has happened, that's a positive. He stayed on the pitch. He was behind on the pitch. He tried to drive it that way. And hopefully today is the day that he gets back to that. In batting practice, he's doing a good job. He's staying on pitches, but not during the game. And I think I always said it, he's only a line drive to left field to get it going again, and hopefully it's tonight against Atlanta.
Is there any concern that this has anything to do with the fact that he's not playing in the field? We've taken a lot of calls that people are like, oh, no, he's thinking too much. He needs to get out in the field. That's part of his game. Any concern that this is related to that?
No. There's more mechanics, and, you know, he's in a bad spot mechanically, and he's been grinding through it. You know, just not the start that we wanted and the start that he wants, but it's not related to the DH. I think he was very vocal in Texas. They brought up the subject, and he's like, hey, man, let's turn the page on that, because my swing and miss doesn't have to do with that. So we're helping him with everything. You know, it's a new routine. We know that. But whoever thinks that not playing defense equals swing and missing, I disagree with that. I think it's more about the individual and the things that we have to do to get back locked in.
Does this tie back into he got sort of the late start to the spring and it was pushed back a couple times? Does he just need time in at-bats now?
I can say that and use it as an excuse, but I won't do it because our right fielder right now is one of the best hitters in the league, and he didn't have too many at-bats in the big field, right? Yep. You know, the way I explain it, right, like you get two at-bats in the exhibition game, but they were getting nine the next day. Was it against AA, AAA, big leaguers? All depends a day, but they were getting plenty of at-bats in the backfields. Obviously, the adrenaline, you know, the third deck and the lights are different, right, when it starts here. But I think as the repetitions and, you know, the at-bats to get ready for the season, he was in a good spot.
Red Sox manager Alex Cora joins Andy Hart and Nick Fitzy-Stevens here on WEEI Afternoons. So, Alex, you know, when somebody as prominent and as powerful as Rafi Devers struggles, you know, sometimes you wonder if, like, a team-wide malaise could set in, or maybe everybody else would really try extra hard to pick him up. Have you – could that possibly explain maybe just some of the overall offensive struggles and the fact that the team has struck out a bit too much coming off of what seemed like a very positive and productive spring training in Florida?
Yeah, it was good, but this is different. And, you know, I think Nate did a good job spinning the ball against us. DeGrom was a different game plan for him, right? He spun the ball. So it's on us to recognize when things are changing during a game, we have to make adjustments. You know, we've been behind in the count a lot. You know, and as you guys know, when I got here in 18, the two things that I said right away in the press conference was like, hunt pitchers early in the zone and do damage, right? And sometimes you get caught up on like, well, we got to take pitches, we got to do this, we got to do that because we're not running, scoring runs. And, you know, we should do it the other way around, right? Like, if they're attacking us, let it eat, right? Hit the ball hard. That's the most important thing. We've been struggling against fastballs, you know, which is a little bit different than what I expected. And, you know, right now there's some guys hitting outside. Jeremy is here, Trevor's here, Casas, Campbell. You know, they're preparing. We just have to execute. And honestly, you know, I think everybody knows that we will hit. You know, it's just a matter of time. And hopefully it's today. Come here, win tonight, win the series tomorrow, go home, have a great weekend, and get the season rolling at home.
It's funny, when we talked to you a week ago, we were talking about the excitement and the buzz of spring training and everything building and the energy, and it's like, you know, 5 games later, you're 1-4, and 5 games, honestly, you could have won, right? You're a couple hits away, 1 or 2 hits, key hits in each of those games. It's not like you're getting smoked, but is this the reality of Major League Baseball? Is this the reality of baseball in general, life in Boston? Like, you know, you were feeling so good a week ago, now we talked to you and your team's a little bit down in the doldrums. Is that even keel you need to keep the players on?
You got to be consistent in your preparation. Don't get caught up on the highs and lows of the season. You know, losing four straight sucks. You know, that's the reality of it, right? But if you start getting caught up on the results and you forget about the process, right, and how to do your thing, you know, like you've been doing it all your whole career, as a player, as a manager, as a coach, you know, we have to be consistent. And so far, we've been working the right way. It's just a matter of the results start happening for us.
Alex, as the Sox have struggled offensively, meanwhile, Dow 995, the evil empire of the AL East, has gotten off to quite a hot start offensively, and the torpedo bats have been one of the big storylines of the start of the season as well. So, Will there be a big shipment of some oddly shaped bats making their way to Fenway on Friday, and how do you feel about them?
I don't know, but I mean, business-wise, whoever came up with that, you know, I think there were torpedo bats back in the day, Easton's, right? But whoever came up with that, you know, and he's making those bats, he's making a lot of money, because I bet there's like there's a lot of players right now calling their agents and ordering bats, you know, and that's the reality of it. I actually, you know, I have read about it. We have talked about it. I think Alex has one now, or he ordered one, you know, and we'll see what happens. But I think at the end of the day, you know, it's big leaguers doing their thing, right? Pitches in the middle of the hunt, of the plate, putting good swings on it. And like you said, they got to a hot start. They did.
We touched on the Campbell extension, but you had a much bigger contract extension earlier this week. Garrett Crochet gets locked up for 6 years. He actually was on the mound for the only game you guys won so far this season. How important was it to get that done? I know there were questions about he didn't want to negotiate during the year, and then we wake up and find out he's going to be your ace for the next 6 years. How important was that?
I think it's important for the organization. You know, we've been talking about adding pitching and having that ace, that guy every 5 days that, you know, he's going to extend winning streaks and he's going to stop losing streaks, right? And he's a presence. I don't know if you guys have been around him, but when he's a big dude that, you know, has a quote-unquote killer mentality on the mound, you know, I think in the first game, actually, he was a little bit hesitant. He didn't want to get caught up on the whole opening day thing, and the stuff was a little bit down. I expect the other side today, you know, and I'm very happy. He's a great teammate too. You know, he's there with Tanner and with Walker and leading the charge of the starters. And I think the city of Boston are going to enjoy his career with the Red Sox.
Alex, one of the storylines that'll continue all season long likely will be the kids in Worcester and when and if they might make it up and how they're doing. And right now, there's a two-prong update, if I may ask, about the Woo Sox. Reports are Brian Baio looks very good so far in his rehab starts with the Woo Sox. So how long till possibly we may see him up with the big club? And also, with Roman Anthony literally almost tearing the cover off the baseball with the way that he's hitting it, how long – I mean, he's absolutely mashing. How long could he possibly remain down there?
That's the second one. I cannot answer that one because at the end of the day, you know, he will push, you know, for us to make decisions, right? How soon or how late, we'll see, right? And that's the reality of it. With Baio, he's going to start on Sunday in Jacksonville again. We got Giolito starting today. So the guys are feeling better. They're making strides. I think the stuff yesterday was eye-opening, to be honest with you, you know, from Baio. That's what we wanted to. He was behind, but, you know, he'll be with us soon, but he still has that one on Sunday, and then we'll reassess the situation.
Alex, I remember when we talked to you last fall, you were sort of joking that you honestly hadn't seen a lot of live at-bats or at-bats of any kind from some of these prospects. You went on YouTube and watched some of them. Is it safe to say, like Red Sox fans, is it safe to say, like Red Sox fans, you kind of have an eye on Worcester now that you have a little more experience with a lot of these guys and you know that they are part of your future and probably pretty soon?
Yeah, I always do. You know, I've done it in the past. But there's certain things that I look for. You guys love the exit velocity. I love controlling the strike zone, you know, and that's something I saw throughout camp, you know, from I think Roman is the best at that. Casey is really good, but he kind of struggling in camp. You know, a lot of stuff was going on, including contract talks and all that stuff, right? But if you dominate the strike zone, you're going to be okay. And that's what we've seen from those two. Marcelo actually was expanding early in camp, but he finished strong. So they're good players, man. They're really good players. There's others that are great too. And as you guys know, it takes more than 26 guys to win the World Series. It takes more than 40 guys to win the World Series. And I truly believe that at one point they're going to contribute here.
Alex, save for a slight struggle from Slayton the other day, bullpen has looked really, really good, especially a guy that I think is pivotal to not only staying in games but winning and hanging in all season long, and that's Garrett Whitlock. How refreshing is it to see him come back from the injury and look like his prime self that you could deploy almost anywhere in any game at any time?
Yeah, I think he's important for us, and we're going to stay with the program. Just like in 21, we'll use it for multi innings. I think it just helps guide the game, right? Like you go from the fifth and you have Garrett 6-7, and all of a sudden you're in the, you know, with Chappie and Slayton, you know, and that's a good feeling. Justin Wilson is another one that he's really good. And I feel pretty confident with the bullpen. I think they're versatile, right? Different shapes mm-hmm. of pitches. We got the lefties that throw hard, but then you got Bernie who can spin it, right? And you pick and choose when you're going to use them. But having that guy for two innings, kind of like Zach Kelly too, he will do that. It helps a manager make better decisions, to be honest with you.
We touched on it earlier with Garrett Crochet, but being an ace, being a stopper, it's very early in the season, but coming off an off day, coming off the contract extension, how big of an early season start is this tonight for him?
it's an important one for the group. Let's put it that way. We don't like losing. You know, we have lost four in a row. We still got a chance to win the series, but for that to happen, we have to win tonight, and we got the right guy on the mound.
Any hints you want to give us to what's going to unfold? We talked to you last week, and you told us exactly what was going to happen. You said, I'm going to bring in Chapman in the eighth and Slayton in the ninth. You did it. It worked out. You won. Anything you want to tease for us today?
How about score 10? That'll be cool.
Oh, I like it.
Win it 10-1. How about that one? So everybody can breathe.
Perfect.
That'll be cool.
I'm going to my app, and I'm putting the money on the Sox tonight. Big blowout win. All right, Alex, we'll talk to you next week. Enjoy the week.
Thank you, guys. Be well. Bye-bye.
Thanks, you, Alex.
And, Red Sox manager Alex Cora here on WEEI Afternoons. I can say, Fitzy, 1-4 doesn't have him down. That's the good thing. And it would be a bad sign, honestly, if he was crushed after the first week of a 162-game season. But, I mean, his best player couldn't hit a ball with a tennis racket right now. He's 1-4.
Tennis racket? Couldn't hit it with the side of a house.
I'm surprised I haven't seen more memes of Devers holding one of those. You know those the kids' bats, the big red, like, 5-inch barrel bat that you use, like knockoff wiffle ball backyard bats.
They're out there, Andy. They're there's those, and then the reverse. I've seen some memes of him using like whatever the reverse of a torpedo bat is, like a little toothpick or something. Like, no wonder why he can't come around. I gotta be honest. I should know better because I've spoken with him before, and I get an idea of what his jib and demeanor are like, but. There was a slight thought of just like, would you like, hey, Alex Cora joins WEI Afternoons. How you doing, Alex? What?
Right.
You know, I just thought he was going to come in. Like, come on, let's just get through this. I gotta win a game tonight. You know, I don't need to have you guys jump all over my back. And instead, playful, jovial. And you know what he preached, Andy? Patience, which he's right. It is so important in 162 games.
Yeah, they're 1-4.
Got 157 to go as well. But
he needs a 3-game winning streak to get to 500.
Yeah, I don't want to. Do you want to see the fans greet them Friday, 1-6 for the home opener? Like,
no. Yeah. Well, no. Were you not listening? They're going to win 10-1 tonight. So we're 2-4 already. We're 10-1. I assume if you score 10 runs, that means Devers has to have a hit. I find it hard to believe you're going to get to 10 runs without Devers contributing in some form or fashion.
He can find a way.
He will hit the ball forward.
Right, exactly. Hitting the ball forward is a start. Let me ask you this. Impromptu show bet right now. What do you think is more likely to happen tonight? More than 10 strikeouts or more for Crochet, or over 1.5 hits for Devers?
10 strikeouts. 10 strikeouts for Crochet. Because I think
I'm feeling that too.
You heard Cora talk about it right there, that he feels like the stuff wasn't quite there on opening day. Maybe he was trying to hold back because it was opening day, not get caught up in the moment and come out too much. I think Crochet, who has an aura to him, has a personality and a presence to him, in the midst of a 4-game losing streak, coming off a $170 million contract extension, this is a little moment for him. This is a moment in the story, the arc of his career with the Boston Red Sox, and I think he's every bit capable of going out there and striking out 10, pitching 7 innings, and you're like, whoa, what were we bitching about? He's freaking awesome. We're going to the World Series again. I don't care if we're below 500 still.
Yeah, he's one of the highest paid pitchers in baseball now, top 10, which is amazing. And this is his biggest start to date as a pro. Doesn't even have 200 innings as a starter in baseball. Yet here he is needing to come in as the stopper and just put an end to this streak and turn the early part of the Red Sox season around. Going to be a lot of eyes on him. This is a great opportunity for him to prove, like, yeah, I'm the man. Yeah, I deserve the spotlight. Yeah, I deserve all that money. And yes, I'm comfortable with everybody relying on and needing me to pitch big tonight.
So we'll keep getting into this the rest of the show. I'm sure Ted Johnson's listening and have his opinions in the 3 o'clock hour. Were you buying the patience in regards to Rafi Devers and where he needs? Did you notice he kind of chose his words carefully when I asked him about did the delayed start to spring training affect this? Is this, and you know, the comparisons to Abreu and his issues, and it's like, well, if I say Devers was limited by his spring training at bats, then why is Abreu so good right out the gates, kind of thing? But he chose his words carefully there. Mm-hmm. And do you believe him? Do you think that's genuine? Is he selling a narrative on the radio, or does he believe what he was selling?
I believe that he buys into that. I do. And I believe that he feels the best cure for Rafi right now is not tough love, but sort of maybe like a not to be a hard ass coach, but sort of like, let's say between the two of us, let's say I'm like softy dad and you're a hard ass coach, right?
That's our odd believable dynamic. I can buy it.
100% right.
We make plays, not excuses. I may have said that 1,000 times.
Right, easy now.
Andy's the hardo. Get out of here.
One step at a time. Dad Lasso here, everybody. Baby steps.
Can I give you this quick story of Little League when we got in the car and my wife goes, tell him he had a good game. And I go, you want me to tell him he had a good game or you want me to tell him the truth? And she just looked at me and was so mad.
And can somebody say STFU with just two eyes? I didn't know you spell it with two eyes, but oh, I'm so glad I didn't see the daggers from Mrs. Hart.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Oh, yeah. My wife's the same way. I can't criticize a single lick of what my kids do without, like, what are you doing? Like,
it's coaching.
It's called preparing them for life, thanks.
Constructive criticism. It's the constructive part you're missing out on.
Yeah, Andy's wife doesn't want him to do it. He just does it anyways.
Yeah, it's probably some
truth. It's what HartBot does. There's no changing the programming or the wiring, ball hawk. So, Andy, right now, Alex Cora is going with the Nick Fitzy Stevens Dad Lasso approach of, like, softer, you know, mm-hmm. encouragement, a hand on the shoulder, like, we'll get him later. Let's just start with him. Okay, good. Hey, like, as the text line is pointing out, like, it's kind of ridiculous that Alex Cora is talking about a foul ball being progress for Rafael Devers.
Yeah.
But that's the approach he needs to take right now because he can probably tell he's a little damaged or a little sensitive or a little both. Cut to a few weeks from now, and if he's still dinking around and he's all caught up in his feels, it might be time for a little hard-o, hard-ass action to step in and just be like, hey, you paid $30 million for a reason, not to sit there and give us good memes, clicks, and social media engagement. Now pick your ass up, grab that bat, and let's go.
Now, I think he has talked a lot about this. I listened to a couple of the pregame shows here on WEEI, leaning on his relationship with Devers, and that's part. They have a long understanding and relationship together, but there's also something interesting here that this is a little NBA-like. You know, they talk about in the NBA, the players are so highly paid for so long that the coach is the one who always goes. Alex Cora just signed a 3-year extension for $21 million. That's mm-hmm. less money than Rafi Devers makes this year, and he's on the books for the next 9 years. There is one guy who is locked in long-term for sure to the Red Sox, and that's Devers. And mm-hmm. I do think as the manager, you have to be aware of that. Maybe you want to do certain things that you can't do because you need to play the game. You need to placate the superstar who's making $300 million. And I also think you need to know his personality. I'm not sure Devers is a guy that will react well. We talked about Bill Parcells yesterday. If you called him she, like Bill Parcells did to Terry Glenn, I'm not sure that Rafi Devers would take to that very kindly. I don't think that's his personality. And I think Cora right. knows his personality, knows their mm-hmm. relationship, and is doing what he thinks is right in a tough situation.
I would like to add right now, Andy, we have an early candidate for text of the day from the 805 at 617-779-7937. The odds are actually better that Rafael Devers strikes out 10 times. There are better chances of 10 Ks for Devers tonight than 1.5 hits the way that he's swinging the bat these days.
Now we're bullying. It's not possible. He's not going to get 10 at-bats.
It makes
no sense. It'd be a super long game.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth-shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
I don't have a lot of the same concerns about Garrett Crochet and handing over money. You're the Red Sox. You're not the Brewers, or you're not... I know the San Diego Padres are spending money differently these days, but and they just handed out a big deal to Jackson Merrill, which is why I'm thinking about this. But you're not a smaller market team. You're not a mid-market team. You're a major market team. You're arguably the most profitable in baseball. I know Sam Kennedy shot this down when he was asked about it by Curtis the other week. You're the second most profitable team in baseball, which Kennedy acknowledged. Maybe you're the most profitable. So you can afford taking what I would consider a minor risk. There's risk. There's always risk in these things. But I don't think it's a major risk with Garrett Crochet handing him the money. Now, guy blows out his arm. He's hurt for 2 years. That'll blow up in your face. That could happen with anybody. In fact, it did happen with Jake DeGrom. DeGrom got this giant deal, 4+ years service time. He won a couple of Cy Youngs, and then he basically hasn't pitched for 5 years, right? His last 5 years in reverse order, not counting his one start that he had against the Red Sox. 3, 6, 11, 15, 12. So
that can, Chris Sale.
That actually, can happen with anybody. It can happen with anybody. And I guess if you want to say it's a greater risk with Crochet, I would grant you that. And there is not a proven track record with him that there was with DeGrom, who had been an all-star and had gotten Cy Young votes, been a rookie of the year.
He won Cy Young. I feel like that's the big thing here. Is it's not just the injury. It's that because it happened with Chris Sale. The Red Sox signed Chris Sale, and then he broke down. But he did have a track record of being really good. Now, he also had a track record of getting hurt and wearing down at the end of the season, which they decided to ignore. DeGrom had those numbers. Even if you want to take like a position player, that's the thing with baseball is wild. The team control early on in their careers. You know, if you don't hit the majors really young, you might not be a real free agent until you're like 29 or 30. And so you're not going to get that big payday until much later, and there's much more of a track record. Like Mookie Betts didn't get really paid until he was on the Dodgers. So right. Think about that. Think about how much he won an MVP, he won a World Series.
Oh, Red Sox like stiffed him at every turn much as they could.
Oh, yeah, they took him to arbitration. Yeah. He was an all-star every year, essentially, that he was a full starter. So you knew what kind of player he was going to be before you had to shell out the money. We've talked about this since the moment they acquired Garrett Crochet. It's mostly injury and relief appearances. It was last year where he was a good starter, and then he was on a super innings restriction in the second half, and he got on everybody's radar because they thought, hey, maybe the White Sox will trade him in the season. And then he said, I won't pitch out of the bullpen, and I won't pitch for you in the playoffs unless you give me an extension. So we're like, Jesus, this guy, really? And then the Red Sox trade for him, and he has 2 years left. So there was part of it where the Red Sox could have, for not a lot of money, had him pitch for 2 years, prove that he can be, not only prove that he can be healthy, but prove that he's a a 3 ERA guy with a million strikeouts.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if last year was Tanner Houck's only year in the majors, I don't think anybody's giving him $170 million. No. But you'd be like, hey, that's a good year. And like, but is that really what you are? Are you going to be better than that? Are you going to be worse than that? Where are you going to be? So there's so much potential. But clearly the Red Sox know that if this guy's as good as we think he is, that money's going to go up. So right. We're going to try to cut ourselves a deal now. And that's why, you know, ultimately I think it is a good deal for both. But it's probably a little bit better for the Red Sox.
I think it's a great deal for the Red Sox. And I think Crochet is the one leaving money on the table. So I don't care about the deal. I really don't. It's not, I'm not preoccupied with it. I wanted to get it done so that the question of whether or not John Henry would pay him is out the window, because I don't think Henry wants to spend $250, $300, $350 million on a starting pitcher. So every healthy start for Crochet the next couple of years, the price goes up, 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 up. If Henry doesn't want to pay that money, well, then lock him in now at 170 and be done with it. And you brought up a great point the other day, Keith.
Thank you.
Where it also eliminates that question hanging over the team between Devers and his situation, which we'll get to, and Cassis in his mouth, and Crochet in this extension. This is one significant thing that's just out of the way, over and done with. We don't need to talk about it anymore in terms of whether or not he'll get it. Maybe whether or not he's worth it will continue. But whether or not he'll get it, that's done. It's not a distraction anymore for Garrett Crochet or the team.
It just, as the season plays out, and hopefully they turn things around, and hopefully they're playing really meaningful games down the stretch. And if he doesn't have a contract, does he second guess whether he comes, if he should come out for the 7th or the 8th, or even fast forward to the playoffs?
Or does Cora use him differently? Because
Cora might have to use him differently. And maybe he's like, well, listen, I kind of understand it. And he wants to be the player's manager. He's not going to run him into the ground, obviously. They're not going to treat him like the Brewers did CC Sabathia that year that they had him. They pitched him nonstop. But
right. It's
come playoff time. Let's go to that example. The last time Alex Cora and the Red Sox won a World Series, all of their starters pitched out of the bullpen, basically. They all did. They were all pitching crazy schedules, short rest, this, that, and the other thing. He's probably like, yeah, I'm not really up for that if I don't have my contract. But now he's got his contract. He's like, all right, worst case scenario, like I get a little bit banged up, you're still paying me $170 million.
So here's my real question with Crochet, and really my only concern. Can he handle Boston? And I think we'll get some insight today. I don't want to overstate first start with a contract. But okay, now you got your money. Now the team's lost 4 games in a row. You know, it is panicky, and I don't blame anybody for being panicky with the Red Sox based on how they started. We love what we saw in game one, even if I didn't love what I saw specifically out of Crochet as a team. Love what we saw in game one. We've hated these last 4 games, including the first game in Baltimore on Monday. You get a little insight into Crochet and how he handles the situation. All right, you have your money. You're now the stopper of a 4-game losing streak. That's what you're now officially paid to do. I know the extension doesn't kick in until next year. You are being paid to stop losing streaks like this. So can he handle the market? That's one thing I don't think we know. He pitched for one of the worst teams in baseball history last year for the White Sox, and he did that for half a year. Can he handle the market? And we don't know that yet. We're not going to know that for a while.
Yeah.
We've seen players get their money and fail here spectacularly. Some players handle it better than others. Which one is Crochet? We don't know the answer, but that's my big remaining question with him.
Yeah, David Price couldn't, although he did turn it around and almost redeem himself.
Yeah.
You know, so sometimes it might start off horribly.
Lackey was like that. Yeah. Lackey, you're like, this market, that the guy can't handle the market. And then in 2013, he was awesome in the postseason.
So, yeah, I guess, you know, you can always kind of turn around. But, yeah, it's funny that right off the rip, he gets the contract, and he needs to put out a 4-game losing streak.
Right away.
Like, there's no chance anybody would have predicted, yeah, next time he starts, they're going to be riding this 4-game losing streak. So you don't want to be like the Bruins. You got to stop the losing streak. They at least have somebody that should be able to step in and do that. So as far as any start on April 2nd can be a big start, it is for Garrett Crochet.
And if he pitches poorly today, it doesn't mean the guy can't handle
Boston.
No, it's
not the end of the world.
But maybe it's a little insight today in whether or not he can handle the market, handle tough spots. He wasn't. I mean, he's faced plenty of losing streaks last year with the White Sox.
Almost entirely losing streaks.
But there was no expectation to win and succeed and make the playoffs and win the division and all these things. And there is that pressure here in Boston.
Mm-hmm.
Can he handle it? That, to me, is a much bigger question than whether or not he's worth the money. I think he left money on the table. I think he's absolutely worth this money. 617-779-7937. Meanwhile, I saw some more numbers yesterday from Dave Schoenfield. ESPN on Rafael Devers and his struggles, Keith.
Yeah, it's poor.
Which do date to late last season. Do you correlate the two real quick? Like, do you think that's an example of something's mechanically off with Devers or like a bigger picture thing? Or is that just four random games at the end of last year with the team going nowhere and now with the DH complications and late to spring training and all these other things? Like, in other words, do you look at the last four games last year and the first five this year as one snapshot, or is that random?
No, I separate the two.
Me too.
I think so much time has passed, and looking at Devers, he might not have picked up a bat in between the end of last year and the start of this year. So I don't think it's anything that he carried over from what we're talking early October. No, I mean, if you want to add it up and be like, oh, he's now one for whatever, like, Right. Fine, you can do that. But no, I look at this differently, like the way he reacted at spring training, the whole idea about, you know, DHing, that wasn't a topic of conversation a year ago,
right?
You know, so the additions to this team, I think they are different.
I've seen people try to extrapolate that and say, well, this is a sign that it's more mechanical than mental. I think the start to this year is
6 months is a long time.
I think the start to this year is absolutely mental or just the lack of physical work that he put in the offseason.
Yeah, I think it's both just because of that part of it. Like, but he kind of showed up out of shape, but then he was almost like
he pouted.
Right. Rather than being motivated by it, he kind of went in the other way. You go into a hole and you're like, all right, that's not going
to
help you.
I think one ties to the other. So it's interesting to just point out he sucked at the end of last year, too. Tie it all together. Like you said, one for 34, whatever the strikeouts are, 25, 26. I don't remember off the top of my head.
A lot of K's.
It's so many.
A lot of K's.
But I think something significant happened in the middle. I'm much more focused on these five than the last nine. Dave Schoenfield, ESPN. He says, since the DH era began in 1973, only three designated hitters, which Devers now is, began the season with a
much
longer,
to his chagrin.
Not that he's happy about it. Began the season with a longer hitless streak than Devers' 0-for-19 mark. Okay, so only three DHs in the history of the sport going back to 73.
Masataka Yoshida.
No. Don Baylor.
Ooh.
In 82 with the Angels started 0-for-20.
Wow.
Baylor ended up, and this is Schoenfield's words, with a pretty typical season for him. 263, 24 home runs. That's what he finished the year with.
Okay.
Evan Gattis, you remember him for the Braves?
I do remember Evan Gattis.
And the Astros, I guess?
Yeah, of course.
He started 0-for-23 with the Astros in 2015. Gattis hit 246 with 27 home runs. Not as good as he did the year before or the year after, but in line with his career numbers.
Okay. It's a long season.
Curtis Terry, I'm not familiar with him.
Curtis Terry? Not Terry Curtis.
No. 0-for-20 in 2021 with the Rangers. He was a rookie who ended up playing just 13 games in the majors.
Wow.
Okay,
you don't want to be Curtis Terry.
So the guys with longer track records, Don Baylor and Evan Gattis, they went back to their normal career numbers after a slump to begin
the
season.
What's your guess on home runs for Devers this season?
I said coming into the year under 30, so I'd feel a little more bullish on that.
I thought 30. I'll maybe adjust it to like 25.
Yeah,
like I still think
that's a big drop after
it is.
30 to 25.
I'm a little shook. It's been a pretty poor start for him, but
something in line with his career numbers. Would be, 25 would be in line. It would be a down season, but in line with his career numbers. He says expanding beyond just the DH position, he searched Baseball Reference for players in the wild card era since 1995.
Okay.
Who started a year hitless in 20 or more plate appearances. That gave us seven players, including Evan Carter and Anthony Rendon.
Oh, Anthony Rendon sucks.
He was 0-for-20 last year. Didn't figure it out.
Then he's awful. You know how many games he's played?
He hates baseball.
He hates baseball. He legit hates baseball.
I wonder how much Devers likes baseball.
He thinks baseball is boring. Anthony Rendon, this piece of crap. You should see his games played since he's gotten over to the Angels, right? So he was pretty good with Washington.
Mm-hmm.
Since he's been with Anaheim, this is his fifth year in Anaheim. No. Yeah, this will be his sixth year if he ever gets on the field. He's played under 60 games each season.
Not great.
He is useless.
So Rendon didn't figure it out. On the positive side, Craig Biggio, Hall of Famer, Keith, in your Hall of Fame?
Nope.
You're a small hall guy.
I am
notoriously your
small
hall guy.
So I have no Biggio.
He started 0-for-24 in 95. He hit .302 that year, made an all-star team, finished 10th in MVP voting. J.D. Drew, 1 year with the Dodgers, 2005, 0-for-25, wound up hitting .286, although he missed a bunch of time due to injury. So,
yeah, no, it's a long season.
Largely, if you look at it and say you're overreacting, you're panicking after five games.
You kind of are.
J.D. Drew, Biggio, Don Baylor, Evan Gattis. It would tell you that, these guys will hit something in line with what their career numbers are. Were all those guys out of shape? Were all those guys pissy about a position
I'm
change?
I'm guessing Biggio
did all those guys
shape. Yeah.
leave?
Gattis might have been.
Did they? Yeah. Did all those guys leave in spring training and bump back the start date of spring training and basically not have a spring training? Right. I guess I'd have to go back and look at it. I do think there are extenuating circumstances with Devers, but
yeah, some guys just start. They're cold, right?
Yeah,
or slow starters or whatever. This is like yeah, how many of those guys were pouting?
I'll tell you. I think there are extenuating circumstances with Devers. That exercise made me feel a little better about the bad start.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think that usually these guys, especially the established guys, kind of find their averages. Everybody else, some of these guys that are young, you're not really sure. Like, is Jaren Duran as good as he was last year? Like, well, tune in to find out. But Devers has been doing it for a long time, and his good years and bad years are still separated by 10 home runs. They're separated by, what, 15 points in the batting average, somewhere in there. It's not like he's dramatic swing, so this is a brutal start. I half agree with Alex Cora yesterday when he was saying if this happened in the middle of the season, nobody would say anything. I mean, we would. It's a lot of strikeouts, but it wouldn't be a glaring, like, oh, for this, batting zero. Like, it wouldn't be that. But it'd be brought up.
Yeah,
15 Ks in five games
and
or whatever?
Just going hitless in five straight? Yeah. We'd bring that up, but would we dwell on it the same way? No, not the same way. So I do agree with that. And Rafael Devers told you he's not hitting the ball forward yet, but when he does.
He had that good foul ball, though. No, they were talking about it. He loved that foul ball that he had. Smoked it.
Let's go to Mike in the car on the Garrett Crochet deal. Go ahead, Mike.
Hi, guys. Something you didn't really mention is Garrett Crochet actually agreed to the John Lackey clause where if in the first 5 years of the contract, if he has a serious arm injury, they rip up the option and he has to play the last two or three years, I think, for $15 million and then for $25 million.
So,
and then
I saw Cotillo had some details on the contract. Maybe I missed that clause. So if he gets hurt, he can't opt out after 5 years.
If it's a serious arm injury, yeah.
Right. Okay.
He has to do the full time. And to Devers, I think Devers was overconfident. He said himself he didn't pick up a bat the entire offseason when he first came into camp. He said that. And I think he thought he could roll out of bed and hit the ball. And I think he's finding out he can't. He needed that time. He needed, offseason to swing the bat.
So I agree with that. And that's on Devers. Devers is the one who left. Devers is the one who kept pushing back the start time. That's not on the team. Cora made it clear the other day. He's not hurt. It's not his shoulder. He's the DH. He's not playing anywhere else. So I put that squarely on Rafi Devers. Do you think he needs to figure it out these next two games to avoid really hearing it from the crowd in the home opener?
I think he'll...
Do you think he'll get a bit of a free pass in the first game, or do you think they turn on him in game one if this continues?
Do you think he gets a Trey Turner ovation after Trey Turner had an atrocious start for the Phillies a couple years ago?
So they did spin it on him. They cheered for Trey Turner and it ended up kind of working. So there's also a difference. Is he go 0 for 8 the next two games and they lose both games? Because I think there's also something like the fans are going to get a little restless if they show up at 1-7 or whatever
no
the record
what
is. I think, you're a little pissed. I don't think he's going to get booed when they do, like, the opening day intros.
No.
I do think, though,
he strikes out in his first at bat.
Bottom of the first, runner on first or whatever, he strikes out swinging.
No,
then
fair.
Maybe you hear it.
There's a line there. Does he get booed during intros?
No.
Smattering.
Couple guys.
Yeah.
Couple guys here or there.
Yeah, some people are doing it.
The ones that were with us at the cast get after it a little bit. They show up. Maybe they boo him.
Some people are doing
I
agree. Not the whole crowd.
I don't think so.
If he strikes out in that first at bat.
Right.
And this.
Plus, it might be a lot of Cardinals fans.
Could be.
Yeah.
That's a good point. The strikeouts continue. I don't know if he's still hitless, but he's not hitting well. The team splits these next two. They've lost both the opening series. Yeah, I think they turn on him pretty quick.
Oh, brother, this guy stinks!
But the good news,
Keith. Might be a lot of that, yeah.
Good news, Keith, is I've already predicted a home run in one of these next two games.
Tonight's the night or tomorrow? You're giving yourself two games?
Well,
Nick's betting it every day. So.
I like Eflin better than Morton. I like today, Nick. I'm with you. You want to ride? I know that's
plus 475.
I know it's frowned
upon. Oh, don't tell that one moron.
I know some senators out there are anti-pushing this agenda here, but if you want to ride today, I'll ride on Devers.
Did you hear that guy this morning?
Oh, I heard it.
I'm starting to think that maybe our smartest people don't get into politics. I'm starting to come to that conclusion, that at all levels, maybe the smartest
best,
people aren't getting
into
it.
The best was the guy at the end. They're kind of making nicey-nice at the end after yelling at each other for 20 minutes. If you missed any of this, what was the senator's name, state senator they had on today? I already forgot.
No idea.
He definitely doesn't live in Cambridge. He lives in Quincy.
No,
he made
he's
that
a
very
Quincy
clear.
Guy.
So, Greg and Curtis and Wiggy and Courtney, they're all yelling at him, and he's yelling back, and they're making nicey-nice at the end of the interview, and he's like, well, I was kind of a mush in my betting days.
Yeah,
I learned my lesson.
Don't let me bet.
pal.
And it's like, dude, should
have led with this.
You just shouted down everybody right. gambling.
Yeah.
And then you talk about how you were gambling and you right. learned your own lesson on your own.
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
I love
it. But anyway, I haven't learned my lesson yet. I'll plunk down on Devers today. I'm in.
I'm going to avoid that. I'm going to sit out on that. I wish you guys the best.
Today's the day.
You better do it now. That guy's going to get rid of props, isn't he?
It's a good point.
You better hammer these props now while we can.
It's a good point. Let's go to... actually, let me bring something up real quick before we go back to the phones. ESPN had their MLB 100 today, top 100 players in the sport.
Okay.
How many do you think were in the top 100 from the Red Sox?
For the Red Sox, I would say 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Five is right. Who are they?
They would be... this is before the season started.
Yep.
Rafael Devers.
25.
Jaron Duran.
36.
Alex Bregman.
47.
Garrett Crochet.
37.
Tristan Casas.
Casas is in the top 100. 97. So.
Ooh, he's snuck in.
If you want to talk about the Red Sox underachieving and you want to talk about their talent level, that should still make you feel good. That only lasts for so long, though. When you're 1-4 and you can't hit, that only lasts for so long. Meanwhile, Bob's in Londonderry. Go ahead, Bob.
Hey, guys, I was just curious, going back with all the sports in general, baseball included, how come all these guys' contracts are always and have been a guaranteed thing when many of them don't live up to it, injuries, you name it, and yet, you know, you guys, imagine telling your boss, I'm not coming in to do the show till next August, and I want to get paid, and the boss says, sure. You're good. We're just going to pay you not to come to work.
I don't know if injury is a part of our sport is or part of our job as much as it is theirs. They often get hurt in their sport that they're playing. There are also a lot of clauses where if these guys get hurt doing something else, like a lot of them have like...
It's also sport to sport. I mean, the NFL players have no guarantees.
I was going
to
say, NFL doesn't have any of that. The other sports, that's part of the deal. It's part of the collective... Yeah.
Take it up with the
collectively
unions.
Bargained agreements. Yeah.
I understand trying to apply it to your everyday job and it doesn't fit. It doesn't apply. These are professional athletes. It doesn't apply. And I don't get...
Although if I had strep throat and I couldn't do the show, maybe I guess I'd have to flex day it for a while.
Yeah, you can flex day that.
Yeah.
But I really never understand the fans, their argument where they get upset with the players and not the billionaire owners. I never understand. You're trying to apply it
to a weird one,
an everyday worker. And then you side with the billionaire owner. That those phone calls never make sense to me.
I also, for the most part, don't like real jobs versus sports job comparisons. They don't really hold up. It's a different world.
Yeah.
You know?
So, I mean, if Garrett Crochet gets hurt, then he gets his money.
Yeah.
Take it up with the players union.
Ask Steph Diggs about the guaranteed money. Yes, there's not much of it in the NFL.
It's very different sport to sport.
And where do you want to start this morning, Jackson?
Well, we'll start with the man of the hour, Rafi Devers, talking about his struggles as of late and if he feels like he's getting close to getting results.
Rafi, you mentioned how you feel. You felt pretty good today. How close do you feel, you know, to the results probably starting to come through for you?
Yeah, I don't know how far or close my hits are, but I feel like I'm like I said many times before, I feel good, I feel comfortable. I know the type of hitter that I am. I know that the hits are going to come sooner rather than later, and I feel comfortable. Like I said before, it's just a matter of time.
So, Wiggy, you were a professional athlete. Is this more about the mental or the physical in your mind?
All mental.
It's all mental?
All mental. Yeah, it's all mental. It's all from the neck up. Because most sports, and people will tell you, the physical part is like you're in good shape, you know, he's strong.
Okay, well,
that hasn't diminished.
Some would argue that he did not arrive at spring training in good shape.
Right, but even if you're out of shape a little bit, you're still a good hitter.
Okay.
You can get past it's not like he's turned 44.
Where did that originally come from?
Mego.
Wait, hold on. What?
Where did that come from? Because we keep saying that he showed up out of shape, and it was talked about on Mego said it. I know, but from people that
down there said it.
Everybody,
everybody.
Well, I don't know. I heard it first from
people
Mego.
People were saying it. I mean, you guys saw it.
Jonathan Papelbon said it on the broadcast 2 nights ago.
Yeah, 2 nights ago, he made a joke about it. But I think that talking about spring training and making it seem like it was this big narrative, when we saw him down at spring training, I didn't think he looked out of shape at all.
Fine to me.
So I'm just wondering who
down. Because you were saying that, and it was a good observation, that he didn't look like he had been reported to be.
So I'm asking because I didn't see it. Who reported it down in spring training? That's all I'm asking.
Oh,
was it just a rumor? Was it just people making jokes about his weight? Or was it actually reported he showed up to spring training and was out of shape? Because we keep bringing it up. So I just want to make sure that it's actually something that was being said.
Yeah, I bet it's like
quite frequently.
There were a lot of people talking about it. But listen, I have been the victim of those who over exaggerate.
Mm-hmm.
What your weight condition is.
Right.
I go through it all the time on the Twitch chat. Like, people are always overestimating how many chins I have. It's not right. It's not fair. But it happens.
Yeah, it happens to all of, well, not all of us, but I feel your pain, Greg, but I think how people view you when they see you. Is his sweatshirt a little big? And then they go, oh, okay, he's overweight, but.
So, from your perspective, this is all
mental. Yep.
And he became derailed when the team didn't have the confidence in him at third base, and that's what this all stems from.
It looks like it, because that's been the, you know, biggest talking point from his side, was the whole movement of it. And then, you know, I heard Jones and Keith talking about this yesterday. I guess that they might have lied to him and said, "Oh, you're going to get the opportunity to play third base."
They weren't lying to him. They didn't know that they were going to have the opportunity to sign Alex Bregman.
But I guess this was after Bregman they were talking about that.
No. I heard, I may have misheard what they said, but they told him clearly that he was going to be their third baseman. They were investing in him, and they were, you know, going to spend $30 million a year on him. So, but they didn't know that they were going to have the opportunity to sign Alex Bregman in February.
Maybe it's because you had the neuro, but Alex Cora sat right across from us in spring training and basically said that he's going to get an opportunity to compete for the job.
Well, did he not have the opportunity to compete for the job?
I mean, but just because your manager says it, I've been around professional sports, Greg, and you've been around it long enough to know that just because coaches or managers say one thing, it doesn't mean what they say. So I think a little bit was they blew smoke up his ass. And did he get butthurt about it? Yeah, but you shouldn't let getting butthurt about it affect how you perform. And clearly, mentally, he's in a very, very difficult place right now when it comes to hitting the baseball. And I don't know when it's going to change.
I mean, Curtis has said it multiple times, and he's right. He's got to get. He has to get a hit before the home opener on Friday, or he is going to be abused.
Oh, it's going to be ugly. And there's a pretty good side-by-side, and I agree with Courtney. I don't think he showed up, like, gigantic. But MLB Network did a 5-minute video, one of their analysts, on why Devers is struggling. And there is a difference in the way he looks at the plate compared to last year. There is a bigger midsection.
That side-by-side is, like, so stretched, though. I know the one that you're talking about because I'm seeing it as well. And it's like, I just, again.
So why do you think he's struggling? You think it's only because he's not playing third base?
Yes. And so, I think that it affected him mentally. And the fact that we can't comprehend that, okay, we're all humans are different, so I can't put myself in Rafael Devers' shoes. I'm just saying, we keep saying he showed up to spring training out of shape. And I'm not saying that anyone's lying. I'm not doubting anything. I'm just asking for a specific article, a specific TV hit from spring training, the beginning of it, where someone said Rafael Devers has showed up and he's out of shape. He is not prepared.
Right,
because I don't remember that at all. I remember going down to Florida and us all being excited for the season, then everybody getting down to spring training and there was this narrative.
Right,
and
but why were you correcting a narrative if the narrative didn't exist?
What?
When we were down at spring training.
Mego said it on this show.
I know. So what were you correcting if nobody was saying it was actually the
case? Mego said he looked out of shape. And I said, I'm looking at him right now and he doesn't. That's right. What I was correcting. I'm asking who down in spring training.
Sean McAdam.
Maybe we'll get it from Mego tomorrow where she heard it from.
Who did it?
Sean McAdam.
Okay, where is that?
MassLive.com.
Okay, he said it at the beginning of spring training?
I don't know the exact date of its report. Most of these comments are not in print. Most of these guys, whether it's a podcast or elsewhere, they talk about it in ways they don't write about it.
Okay, I'm just saying I don't remember it being this big talked about thing when they all reported to spring training.
But even then, we've seen Pablo Sandoval and we've seen Prince Phil, the fat guys hit the baseball.
Well, fat guys can DH.
Yeah.
Oftentimes the fat guy is the DH.
Right.
And a lot of the reporting was muted at the beginning of camp because everyone was told he's going to be in the lineup this week. He's going to be in the lineup this week.
I don't see a major difference.
It's just crazy to me.
Those
and I
are
just,
my eyes. Maybe somebody else does.
I also think, like, we're all so quick. We Google immediately to find the report. There's none. I've asked a million times. Just show me something. It was, I wasn't here, but I believe Mego made a joke about it on the show with you. And then all of a sudden, it was talked about. And when Wiggy and I saw him down there, we said, he doesn't look any different. He doesn't look like he's gained a ton of weight or is out of shape.
Right, because he didn't get on the field. And as it prolonged, the first appearance in spring went from March 1st to March 8th to March 15th. And then I think he made his debut in the third week of March.
But Curtis, your narrative has been that he showed up to spring training out of shape.
Right, because he wasn't able to play.
He was hurt. All at the end of last
season. You showed a video
season.
Of February of him hitting bombs. Now he's hurt. Make your mind up.
Yeah. My mind's made up.
So how is he hitting bombs if he was hurt?
It's called rehab.
I just told you he didn't show up out of shape. We saw a video of him hitting bombs.
Right.
So then I think it's a mental thing when it comes to the fact that he wasn't playing third base.
I'm not mad about anything.
No, you just said make up your mind. My mind's made up.
Well, that's okay, so rehab. He was healthy.
No. That's rehab, Curtis. We've seen guys hit baseballs before. We've seen guys in practice run up and down the court.
Well, you can play a simulated game. There's a lot of ways
that that doesn't mean just because you're taking BP that you're not hurt.
Why did the Red Sox keep saying he was going to play and then he didn't play?
It was a bit of a temper tantrum on his fault.
We all agree on that.
Because Alex Cora kept saying, Rafi's going to play tomorrow. And then Rafi wouldn't play tomorrow.
Right.
Rafi's going to play Saturday. And then Rafi wouldn't play Saturday.
Right.
We think the player is going to play on Monday, and then Rafi wouldn't play on Monday.
Right.
Like, I mean, let's be honest.
But we all agree, though.
He was pulling a hissy fit.
Right. We agree with you, though. You keep saying that.
Yeah, right.
Courtney and I have agreed with you from day one.
But that's why it wasn't that he was injured and he didn't play in spring training. He was pulling his own little one-man protest.
And okay, Papelbon, I'm sorry I used the word injured.
Yeah.
Wiggy and I were talking about it was like he was still coming back from an injury.
Yeah, well, right. I think
so.
That
he wasn't in game shape.
Oh, yeah, yeah. God. Okay. You're right, Curtis.
Curtis, you know that people could come back from an injury and say, I'm not ready to play because I'm not 100%.
Right, and I don't think Papelbon was kidding. I think he called him fat. Like, that's Papelbon.
If he's a little bit overweight, so be it. The reason why he's not hitting the baseball is because he's 5-6 pounds overweight.
Right, because he wasn't in game shape because he didn't play because he was pouting.
The reason why he's not hitting the baseball is because it's all upstairs.
You're saying the reason why he's not hitting the baseball is because he's butthurt.
Yes.
It's a bigger butt, too.
That's wild to me.
But that's the truth of it.
That is wild
to me. It's a mental thing for him. It's not this. Even if he is overweight by 6 pounds, it's not the. He didn't come in into spring training looking like Luther Vandross.
Right,
he
right.
came in 5-6 pounds overweight.
That's a stray.
I love Luther, but I'm just saying Luther's way fluctuating.
We mentioned him twice. We need to protect him.
So I would say this. It is all mental, because even if you're a few pounds overweight, you're telling me you still can't hit the baseball?
And this is Papelbon on Devers the other night.
Maybe he's out of shape. I don't know about both of them, but, you know, game shape, playing shape. But, you know, maybe we got to trim a little bit of fat, Jim. You know what happens when you trim fat?
Well, we know they're not hitting shape, right? So they're not hitting. Okay, go ahead. We're talking about trimming fat. What happened?
Pig squeal.
Oh.
Where's this going?
No, I'm just saying, like, you trim fat, pig squeal. Pig, I mean, squeal. That's what you're looking for your pigs to squeal.
They need some squealing.
Hit home runs.
They need some squealing.
Yeah, he seemed very serious.
He said maybe, right?
Right. Well,
Courtney has to be right.
But I would say, Greg, and that's why I believe that it is all mental. It is all mental. And yes, it is because he was butthurt. You and I agree that he did throw a hissy fit, and he was, I want to take my ball and go home, and he shouldn't have done that, or he shouldn't let that affect his performance.
Yeah.
But is all the reason why he can't hit the baseball is because of all that stuff that's gone on.
Who was a better singer, Fat Luther or Thin Luther?
Oh, it didn't matter. Luther could blow, fat or skinny.
What about Adele?
It did not matter. Luther has probably the best voice that we've ever heard in music history.
I can say that and use it as an excuse, but I won't do it because our right fielder right now is one of the best hitters in the league, and he didn't have too many at-bats in the big field, right? Yep. You know, the way I explain it, right, like you get two at-bats in the exhibition game, but they were getting nine the next day. Was it against Double A, Triple A, big leaguers? All depends a day, but they were getting plenty of at-bats in the backfields. Obviously, the adrenaline, you know, the third deck and the lights are different, right, when it starts here. But I think as the repetitions and, you know, the at-bats to get ready for the season, he was in a good spot.
That was Red Sox manager Alex Cora just moments ago here on WEEI Afternoons. If you missed that interview, you can go back and listen to the podcast anytime. Just subscribe to WEEI Afternoons on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. We'll also replay it in the 5 o'clock hour for those of you who may have missed it or you're in the car then. You can listen to the whole thing on the drive home. And right there, he would not take the excuse that I was offering up that Rafi Devers, who twice had his spring training pushed back because he was continuing to deal with those shoulders, I guess, slow rehab. I'm still not sure we know the whole totality of the story there, Fitzy, in exactly how that played out and how much of it was physical, how much of it was him slow playing it because maybe he was a little in his feels or in his sads a little bit. But Alex Cora says, nope, because Willy Abreu didn't hit much in spring training, and he's one of the best hitters in baseball, so no excuse.
As a matter of fact, as a texter points out on the text line from, I believe it is the 860, how interesting is it that right now the Red Sox, what a juxtaposition, a 781 texter points out. Sox have the number one hitter in batting average in the majors, Abreu at 636, and the dead last hitter in Rafael Blutarski at .000.
It's balance. It's the yin and the yang. It's a polarizing world, and the Red Sox
are hitting polarized. 318 combined. See,
perfect.
That's a great way to do a Fenway reframe on that one and try to spin it positive, Hart.
Bet your Willy Abreu would be like, hey, can I get some of his paycheck? Because his paycheck for zero hits is much larger than mine for batting 600. But no, I thought that was interesting. And this is something we're going to be monitoring. And I know it could get infuriating. And I actually put up a poll today because we started to take all those calls yesterday about what the ideas were for how you can fix. You know, we had the baseball coach down in Texas. We had, you know, others just chiming in that maybe don't have quite the credentials. So I used Rafi Devers as our poll today at Jumbo Hart on Twitter here on WEEI Afternoons. And I said, what is the solution for Rafael Devers' horrific start to the Red Sox season? And the choices I offered up, Fitzy, were injured list stint, technical slash mechanics, play third base, or time slash at bats. And right now, the leader in the club.
Let me guess. I always like to guess. Yep. I'm going to say that time and at bats has a whisper of a lead over IL stint.
Little bit more than a whisper. 44% believe it's just simply about time and at bats or timing, getting him back out there. And then we have a two-way tie for second place. IL stint at 25% and technical slash mechanics at 25%. Only 6% of respondents believe playing third base could be a solution to Rafi Devers' hitting issues going back to his old job.
That should be 0% of the people believe that Rafi going back to third will bring his mighty swing back and make all right in the Devers verse. Zero chance. No.
Our opinions don't matter, and the voters on Twitter don't matter, but the guy we just talked to said, nope. He basically pulled a Rafi, this has nothing to do with him not playing third base. Now, I don't know how he can say that quite so definitively. Crawl in sort of the mind of his designated hitter, power hitter, a guy who, if you looked at ESPN, which timing is everything in life, ESPN put out their top 100 list today of Major League Baseball players. Number 25, the 25th best player in Major League Baseball, is your designated hitter who has yet to hit the ball forward, to take his own words, and has struck out 15 times. So I don't
know. Today's April 2nd. Are you sure that wasn't an April Fool's thing? 25th best player in baseball?
Yeah. He's the 25th.
He's not even the fifth best player on his own team.
Well, I think this is a big picture, not a five-game sampling type thing. And I think you can debate how good he is coming off of last year and coming off the start this year. Dan Ball wants us to remember that this is not a
bad start to 2025. This is a continuation to a bad end to 2024. I believe, Dan Ball, you told me this is the worst nine-game stretch in terms of strikeouts in the history of Major League Baseball.
26 strikeouts, the most over a nine-game span. That's correct.
You know, quick math tells me it's almost three a game. He's basically averaging three strikeouts a game the last nine games that he's played. Good Lord.
Two strikeouts a game is a good game for Devers over his last nine games.
I know the manager wants us to relax and just let this play itself out, but and I actually don't think the two can be connected. I don't think that's fair. Even though if you were just running an Excel spreadsheet, you know, last 10 games, well, just so happens that some of those last games were in last year's season, but that was a whole different. He was actually injured back then, I do believe, and therefore that's a different world. He was playing third base, so you couldn't have the, like, or he was at least still a third baseman. I didn't look at the box scores.
No, he was. I checked in on that after we talked about it. He was playing third, and then they shut him down after the 20th of September.
So I don't know how. I get what Alex Cora is doing, but you can't definitively say that the position change hasn't affected Rafi Devers. There's no.
May have a little, a little bit, but like still, that's not that. Like if he's soft enough that like he's still softer, mad about right? If he's still I know
and getting softer.
Leon's getting larger.
Ask Papelbon.
I get it. But if he is sensitive enough, let me pivot there. If he's sensitive enough that it's still bothering him that they moved him off third base to DH. And therefore, that's affecting his every at bat. Then we don't need a trip to the IL. We need like the Knobloch doctor. We need some sort of sports psychologist to come in.
Yep.
And open up the top of the dome piece and like basically do a hard drive rewire on this guy. A
hypnotist, maybe somebody who could hypnotize him and make him remember that. Nope. You do not play third.
It's that bad.
Watched him hit?
We're going into the hypnotic arts 5 games into the season.
How many times have you had a player or his interpreter have to say, I can't hit the ball forward? I think that may be the first time I've ever heard somebody just acknowledge, I can't hit it forward, which is very important in the sport of baseball. Forward. There's like these two lines that intersect, and you actually have to hit it in that direction between those lines. Yes, this is awful, and we could laugh about this. I hope we're laughing about this. As a texter brings up, I had great hope where this was going. If you remember, I was being mocked by Adam Jones because I said if Devers embraces the DH role, it could take him to Cooperstown. He could become a Hall of Fame designated hitter. I wanted to look up the MVP odds for Devers as a DH because I think this should add.
You cray, girl.
Well, that's not fair. Hindsight, it sounds crazier. It's much crazier now than it was a week ago. If you had told me he was going to strike out 15 times in 19 at-bats to open the season, I would have had a totally different take. But I was trying to be optimistic. I thought not playing in the field might just give him, I don't know, 25% more offensive production. In hindsight, it's one of the dumbest things I've ever said, at least a week into the season, because, well, he stinks and the Red Sox are struggling. But
you ready for a much-needed win, Keith?
I am absolutely ready for a win. Big W. Big one. The only guy that can get you wins. So far, only one starter's been able to go out there and win the games that he starts. His name? Garrett Crochet.
I had no idea.
Croquet, more like it.
I had no idea. A lot of K's last night.
Sure.
I had no idea, Keith. He had never gone 8 innings in his big league career.
You regretting the contract now?
I'm fine with the contract.
I remember going through it last year, actually, when they acquired him, and we knew about the second half of the season, pitch count, innings restrictions, but even in the first half, there was like 7 innings.
Yeah. He's like, I haven't pitched 8 innings since the University of Tennessee. Yeah. So he goes 8 innings last night, 102 pitches, one off a career high.
Yeah.
So I think you made the best point yesterday, or maybe it was even the day prior.
Make a lot of great points. Hard to remember when.
We're talking about his extension, and you're like, this frees Cora up to lean on him. They don't need to baby him, and he's not going to be against being babied. You can lean on him to go deep in the games. Red Sox were cruising yesterday. He was cruising yesterday. So I don't think they were like super high leverage or high maximum effort pitches. Like, he was cruising. And again, the team was cruising. But there's no more question about, are we going to break him? How much can we lean on him? How far can he go into games? He clearly has the frame for it. He's never done it, but that doesn't mean he can't do it.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that's the most promising thing yesterday. Sign the contract, first start, 8 Ks, it's a win. I like all that. How about 8 innings, which he's never done in the bigs? And how about one pitch off a career high? Lean on him. And that's what the contract lets them do.
And I was thinking that applied more to second half of the season or hopefully playoffs and that kind of thing, where like the overall inning count is going up. But I guess right away, second start of the season, you know, he's probably looking at it a lot differently when he's in the dugout after 7. You know, previously he's probably like, well, I'm done, obviously, right? I'm done. And they're like, you good? You're good? You're going back out there. And there's probably no hesitancy to that. Like, okay, good. Get the ball. You don't have in the back of your mind thinking, well, what if I get hurt now? How's that going to affect my next contract and all that? And honestly, maybe this is me just getting used to scared baseball and teams being so careful of pitchers. I probably would have taken him out after 7. He was at, I think, 92 pitches.
Yeah.
And then he gives up a single right off the rip. And I'm like, I think I would have taken him out just because it's 7 scoreless. It's dominant. You leave on a high note. You still were in line for
the
win.
You're feeling good about the extension.
Yeah, I probably would have taken him out.
Well, does that tell you Cora and his faith or lack thereof in the bullpen?
Maybe a little bit. Or because he was cruising so much, Cora knows he's never gone 8. You know, it's news to you and me. But like Cora maybe knew that and was like, hey, like, we're behind you. This is what we need. We've just lost 4 straight games. You know, the starters weren't great, but it was also the bullpen. Like, everything about it. 4 straight games, you're not hitting a lot either. Let's just go out there and really send a message that, you know, you are the ace. You know, put him back in that Cy Young mix and all that stuff. So I was a little bit surprised. He got the double play, too, which was great to end the game, because if not, you're wondering, at what point is Cora going to go out there? I never
pull him mid-inning.
I don't love that either. Like, so it's still a great start, but now you have the thing where you got to hand the ball to the manager, and it's like, it's a great start, but you didn't even get to finish the inning that you went out there for. So, no, I probably, in real time, I was thinking to myself, like, maybe just pull him after 7. But Cora made the right call. He went 8, dominant start, handed over to Chapman for a save, and boom, they snapped the losing streak.
So, to me, it's as simple as look at his first 2 starts, because we harped on, and I like that he buried guys last night. He got the 2 strikes and he put guys away right away in the first inning.
You could tell it was different than the first start.
100%.
Yeah.
And so I like that. One thing that we talked about after his first start a week ago when we were at the Woo Sox, and something I didn't bring up yesterday, but I did feel strongly about, is it did feel like Cora had a bit of a quick hook with him and babied him a little bit in the first start. What did he finish with for pitches? 88 pitches.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you give
and
him
a lot
more
of that was early, too.
Yeah, one more in. Exactly. He had settled in a little bit after the first couple innings in his first start in Texas. But it's as simple as he had 88 pitches and 5 innings in his first start. And you're like, boy, you could have given him another inning. He clearly wanted another inning mm-hmm. in that outing. Versus now, maybe they go 1 inning too far in your estimation and lean on him when he had 7 clean innings. You could hand it over to the bullpen. It's as simple as the contract. And so, yeah, there's risk in the contract. There's risk in paying every single pitcher. And this guy might be riskier than most because he's never done it. But this is the value in it. One, it's not a distraction anymore. And two, you can lean on the guy. You don't need to worry about breaking the guy. And now you're in a weird spot. He has his money. He's not going to balk at going out there. In fact, he said something after the game to that effect. He's like, I haven't gone this deep into a game in a long time. He's like, now I can just focus on wins. There's nothing else I got to worry about. I can just focus on the team getting wins. That's what the contract allows you to do. And look, I don't know how you don't feel good about that start yesterday. On top of that, I went into the game going, okay, let's see it. Can you handle Boston? You're the stopper. You got your money. Can you end a 4-game losing streak? And I don't want to say he single-handedly ended a 4-game losing streak.
Pretty
but
close.
He was the biggest factor in ending a 4-game losing streak.
Well, and it was really the opposite of the season opener, where he even said, you know, everybody else around me really won the game. You know, that was all about the bullpen and Willier Abreu, whereas this game was really all about him. I mean, we can get into some of the guys that hit, but they only scored 3 runs. And so it was a Garrett Crochet day, which, again, especially when the rotation starts the year with 2 guys on the shelf or 3 guys on the shelf. So, you know, there might be some short starts in the first couple of months for other guys, right? You might have to load up the bullpen for some of those other games. Plus, you know, what are you going to get out of tonight's starter? I think it's still kind of, we're wondering, you know, what kind of season
I don't feel good about
he's going to have. So every Garrett Crochet start is even more important because of that. You know, any ace that goes out there, like, yeah, there's a lot put on him. But when the rotation is depleted right off the rip the way that it is, you know, those starts are even more important than normal.
617-779-7937. That was vintage Garrett Crochet. Mm-hmm. And you hope you see a lot more of that now that he has his money, now that he's comfortable. We'll see him at Fenway on the homestand for the first time.
Well, the boys of summer are back in town after winning a series in Baltimore, and it is a 2:10 first pitch today on the Shaw's and Star Market Red Sox Radio Network. And on the Odyssey app, you listen to every game this season on the Odyssey app, and a Garrett Crochet press conference today before that game on his new deal and other things. And we will talk to Sam Kennedy, president of the Boston Red Sox, on home opener Friday at 9 on this morning's show. And at Friendly Fenway this morning, our man on the street, Jackson. Hello.
Good morning, everybody.
How is it over there?
The excitement is very palpable.
Okay. Where are you currently?
Yes.
I'm watching on Twitch. This show on Twitch is presented. This show on
these guys. I'm right near the box office, and
Jackson, stand by for a second. I'm just trying to get a plug in for Twitch.
You got it.
This show on Twitch. The show on Twitch is presented by Springer's Jewelers. There are three locations that you can visit. Portsmouth, tax-free Portsmouth, New Hampshire, Bath, Maine, and Portland, Maine. Go to springersjewelers.com, and you can see Jackson right there on Fenway. Now, I see the fellas in line. Did they sleep there last night for tickets?
Yes. One of them arrived at 1 a.m., and then the rest trickled in as the night went on.
All right. Can I speak to one of the diehards, please?
Sure. Sure. Who's the guy that came here, who got here one? You? You want to walk on the radio for a minute? All right, cool. Put these on, and you'll be able to hear them.
All right. Gentleman,
hello.
He's got full gear on. We got the uni. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Happy opening day. Happy opening day. What's your name?
My name is Mike Collinbear.
Okay. Where are you from?
I live in Pembroke, Massachusetts.
Okay. And you arrived at what time to sleep at Fenway?
Around midnight.
Okay. How much are you? You're hoping, obviously, when you get to the box office that there are tickets available. How much would you be willing to pay on the open market if there are no tickets available to get in today?
It's not even a question. Like, there's always, game tickets available. I've never struck out. I've been doing this for 25 years in a row.
Oh.
There's never been once where I haven't gotten tickets, and it's all about getting that physical ticket. That's I love. I wanted to go in my keepsake box, so I have the receipts. Like, listen, you may say you've been at the Derek Lodo hitter. I have a ticket that shows I was actually there.
Okay.
Like, love the physical ticket. Love that.
What is your expectation for this Red Sox team this season?
Listen, despite the slow start, I'm expecting 95 to 97 wins. I really think I compete. Walker's first outing is not representative of who he's going to be this year. I think he's going to have a great day on the mound today. With Campbell hitting as he is, Jeffers is going to be fine. Breggy, once he starts hitting that wall, I want an over-under how many wall balls he's going to hit this year. Having Meyer and having Anthony just sitting down there, just waiting to come up if anything happens. Even Story's hitting. Yeah, hasn't happened since Colorado. It's great.
Okay. Who is, in your mind, the face of this franchise?
I don't know if it's a positive or negative view of it. It's Devers at the moment. Whether it's the positive or negative, Devers is the face of it. He's the premier talent. He's the big contract. He is what he is. But in terms of leadership, Breggy, I feel, is doing a lot behind the scenes. Duran is up and coming, and who knows? A year or two, even this year, it could be Campbell. The man's referring to the team as, like, instead of teammates, he's referring to them as friends. Like, this could be the culture change we're looking for.
From your expert opinion, diehard sir, does it appear to you that Rafael Devers, the face of the franchise, has grown a little bit, and not a good way?
I think he was in his own head. Like, the Red Sox, as a whole, I think handled it not great in terms of telling him what his role was going to be this year. Had they come out in the very beginning, like, listen, dude, you're going to be the DH. It's going to be what it is. Instead of waiting and kind of flopping around like, maybe we'll play Devers, maybe we'll play Breggy at second base throughout the year, pre-spring training. He's had
what, 16 spring training at-bats, he's going to be fine. Hitters are going to hit. It's going to be okay. I still expect him to have that, you know, at least a 297 season, hit the 25 home runs. Again, you may expect more from the contract, but I don't want to fall into the Crawford trap of he has to live up to the money. Like, no, they had to pay him what the market was worth. The dude is going to hit. He's going to have a good year. I feel like he's going to be fine.
Is it possible, do you think, that the Red Sox told Devers his role and then he ate it?
I mean, could be. You know, as a fat man myself, I understand it. Like, uh-huh. You know, yep. You get hungry sometimes.
Amen.
What are you looking? What's the plan? Speaking of eating, what's the plan today? Are we going dogs? Or I mean, there's some new offerings. There's they have a new burger over there, like a Cowboy Up burger. Like, what's the plan today?
I can't afford the fancy stuff. Like, I know I'm going to have Sausage Guy for breakfast. You know, if I get a seat near one of the new pavilions. Cool, I'll try something, but dude, I'm paying $130 for a ticket. I can't afford another 100 for sushi.
Okay, a couple Sammy's while you're in there today. A couple Sammy, there's a new new Sammy American beer you can get in there today.
What's that one?
Sam Adams, they just introduced an American beer. It is extraordinary.
Oh, really?
I would highly recommend.
Yeah, Kazan.
All right, I'm in. I got all night. My wife and daughters are at a cheer competition. Hi, Nora and Charlotte. Like, they're gone for the week. So I actually have a night off as a dad. And, you know, I'll try the dang thing. Let's do it.
All right. Are you supposed to be at work today, or did you take the day off officially?
No, took the day off. They know who I am and how insane I am, and they're looking forward to, you know, seeing me on the screen.
I love you, man. Honest to God, thank God for people like you.
We should.
Gotta love you.
Curtis, do we have a weekend shift for this diehard?
I
love this man.
He's a diehard.
Yeah. He's well-spoken. He's knowledgeable. He's a girl dad, and his girls do cheerleading. The best.
Fantastic.
Cheerleading and dance. I got to give props to Nora, my oldest. She
love
knows
that.
Dance. My youngest says, Chia. Yeah, you know, girl dad all day.
I love you.
Let's go.
Hank, give Jackson your information. Because maybe later on we'll talk to you when you're 7 or 8 beers in and the Red Sox are down by 5.
Can we get something for this guy?
So yeah. 5 minutes?
What do you want to do?
Don't know. I don't have any power. I don't want to promise something.
You know what? I can bring him to a game in the Sam Adams seats.
Later in the year?
Because he's a diehard.
Oh, that would be awesome.
You want to go?
That Sam deck is awesome.
I'll tell you what. Hang on. You want to go to a game with all of us and we'll sit out in right field in the Sam Adams seats?
Heck yeah, let's go.
All right.
Awesome.
Okay.
Done.
All right, so talk to Jackson, get all the information, we'll pick a game, and we'll all go to the game together.
Sure, Chef, thank you.
All right, awesome. There you go. I mean, a complete diehard.
Yep.
Yeah, that was awesome.
I mean, he's sitting out there since 1 a.m.
Good job, Big Jack. You picked the right one.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. And 1 a.m.
Right.
Like, I love it.
And he wants the physical ticket stub, too.
Yeah.
You know, like
that's cool.
No, I'm cool. Just email me.